I'll be reading from Luke chapter 2, about the birth of Jesus, verses 1 through 20. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his hometown to register. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Thank you, Harold. We know the Lord always adds his blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word. Father, we thank you for the joy we have in our hearts because of your coming. Lord, a joy that transforms and changes us from the night and the darkness into the joy of the light. Dispelling the fear, dispelling the doubt. And Lord, because of that, we can rejoice before you. So Lord, we ask your blessing on your word this morning as we look once again into this wonderful story, a story that we all know so well, telling us how you came to this earth. But Lord, in the midst of the familiar, speak to us again in new and fresh, that you reveal yourself to us again as we come before you this morning. Through your word, give us ears to hear and eyes to see you afresh. Through the power of the Holy Spirit and through Christ our Lord, in whom we pray. Amen. We've been focusing in on the songs of Christmas. And we began the series by looking at the song of Zechariah, which was that song of faith and trusting in the Lord. And then we looked at the song of Mary last week, and the song of trust, where she expressed her trust in the Lord, even though she didn't fully understand the plan, and she revealed herself and submitted herself to it. And today we come to the song of the angels, the song that the angels sang to the shepherds while gathering on the field on the hillside overlooking Bethlehem. And imagine that night. Well, it was a dark, clear night, maybe upon a midnight clear, we think. And the stars shining brightly in the sky, and without any city lights, imagine how dark it would have been. The little town of Bethlehem down below, the shepherds gathered up on the hillside, tending and watching their sheep, and another mundane, normal night to them. Thinking nothing ever was going to happen, nothing ever exciting ever happened in Bethlehem, and they were out tending their sheep, and in the midst of the darkness, this bright light appears. The shepherds, in seeing that light, were scared to death. And the angels appeared to them with that song, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men." And they sang that song, which has been set to music, which in fact we sang earlier this morning, and a song of joy that brings true joy and continues to as we look at the power and words of this song. Now, in the classic Christmas movie, or The Grinch Stole Christmas, the main character, the Grinch, hated Christmas. And so he thought one year, I know, but I got to keep Christmas from coming. He hated the sound of the song of people from Whoville singing their Christmas joy in the morning, and he hated that sound. He said, sometime I got to stop it from coming. And how? So you know the story. He dressed himself as Santa Claus. He went down into town under the cover of night, and he stole everybody's gifts, and he took them back up to his hill at Mount Crumpet, and he thought, waiting for Christmas morning, he said, aha, I kept it from coming. It's not going to happen this year. I won. Christmas morning came. The Who's gathered around. Their tree was gone. All their gifts were gone, and they gathered around, and he's listening, and he hears this sound starting soft, but then it gets louder and louder and louder. And it wasn't the sound of crying that he heard, but it was the sound of singing. And he heard that, and he thought, he said, and he began to ponder, and he began to think, and he says, you know, maybe Christmas doesn't come from a store. Maybe there's something more to it that I don't understand. Maybe it isn't something that's bought or sold. Maybe there's a reason behind this joy that I don't know about. And he began to ponder that. And soon he was overwhelmed with the meaning of Christmas, as you know, and he realized there wasn't more. There's more to behind it that he didn't understand. He ends up taking the gifts back and sharing in their celebration and in a joyful celebration. As we look at the song of the angels this morning and the story that we know and have heard so many times, we want to celebrate together the joy that the angels' message brings us. And why is this message a song of joy? When the angel appeared to the shepherds, they said to them, don't be afraid. And imagine, they were fearful in the midst of that dark night. But they said, don't be afraid, because I bring you a message of good, great joy. The message of the angels is a message that brings joy that all of us can sing. And this morning together, we're going to discover five reasons why the song of the angel is a song of joy. First is because it's a song of good news. The angel said, I bring you good news of great joy. I tell you, friends, we turn on the TV, we hear so much bad news. Isn't it good to hear good news? Something good? And the angel said, I got good news to tell you. In fact, news that the shepherds and Israel had been waiting for years. They had been waiting for the news that their Messiah was going to come. And the angel said, I got news. Today, the city of David, the Savior, has been born. And the good news that the angel shared, and why it's a song of good news, is because God gave us what we really need. Have you ever gone shopping for somebody, or someone has given you a gift, guys, and you open up and you get another tie for Christmas? You know, and say, man, I wish someone would get me what I really need. I have plenty of ties. I have a collection. But if someone gives you what you really need, you appreciate that. And the Lord sent us at Christmas what we needed most, and that was salvation. But you know, the thing is sad is that a lot of people don't realize that they need saving and miss the point, and there's a lot of people that miss the point of Christmas. In December 1903, after many attempts, the Wright brothers were successful in getting their flying machine off the ground. If any of you have ever been to Kitty Hawk, anybody been there? If you haven't been to Kitty Hawk, you can see where that was. It wasn't that long of a flight, but it was a big accomplishment. They're successful in getting it off the ground. Thrilled, they telegraphed their message back to their sister Catherine back in Ohio, where they lived. And this is what it said, quote, we have actually flown a plane 120 feet. We'll be home for Christmas. Catherine hurried to the editor of the local newspaper and showed him the message. He glanced at it and said, "How nice, the boys will be home for Christmas." He totally missed the big news that they had flown into the air. And see, that's how it can be with Christmas. A lot of people miss the good news that a Savior has been born. Because God gave us what we needed the most. In the midst of all the trappings, in the midst of all the celebration people go through, they don't have true joy, and they open up the gifts on Christmas morning, and there's a moment of joy, but then it flees because they don't realize that the greatest gift is salvation. A gift that lasts forever. A gift that God has given us. D.M. Stearns was preaching in Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, one Sunday, and at the close of his service, a stranger came up to him, and he said, "I don't like the way you spoke about the cross." He said, "I think instead of emphasizing the death of Christ, it would be better to preach Jesus as a teacher and as an example." Stearns replied, quote, "If I presented Christ in that way, would you be willing to follow him?" He said, "I certainly would," the stranger said, without any hesitation. Stern said, "Okay then," said the preacher, "let's take the first step. He did no sin. Can you claim that for yourself?" The man looked at him confused and somewhat surprised, says, "Well, why no? I acknowledge that I do sin." Stern replied, "Then your greatest deed is a Savior, not an example. And that's why Christ came. Because he came to save us from our sin that all of us were born into. And that's what's good news about Christmas. That the plan of redemption that God had put in place after the fall of man and woman in the garden had been completed and fulfilled through the coming of Christ. And that's why we can rejoice. That's why it's a message of joy. It's good news that the world needs to hear. He gave us the best that he had and the gift of himself. Given to us at Christmas. But we have to receive that gift. And God gave us not only what we really need, salvation. He gave us the best he had himself. And he wrapped himself in human flesh. Notice it said, good news of great joy for all people. For today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. But he is who? Christ. That word Christ means the anointed one, the Messiah, the one who had been longed for, the one who had been prophesied, the one who the prophet said would be coming. Christ is here, and is Christ the Lord. The Almighty One, the Creator of all things, the Great I Am, the one who spoke everything into existence. The Lord has come to us. And the good news of Christmas is God had wrapped himself in human flesh, and gave himself to us as a present to receive, so that his presence would be with us forever. That's good news, isn't it? That's good news that people need to hear. Pastor Clifford Stewart of Louisville, Kentucky, sent his parents a microwave oven for Christmas one year, and this was back when microwaves were a big thing, just coming out back in the 70s. And it was a new thing for many Americans. He recalls telling the experience of what happened. He said, when his parents got it, they were excited that they too could be part of the instant generation. And his dad unpacked it and plugged it in, and literally within seconds, the microwave turned their smoke. They were happy, but then they became sad. Because even after reading the directions, they couldn't figure out how to make the thing work. So 2 days later, he says, my mother was playing bridge with a friend, and she was confused about, confessed her inability to get the microwave even to boil water. She said, I can't get the stupid thing to work, she said. She said, I really don't need instructions. What I need is to have my son to come along with me. And that's what God did with the gift of salvation. He didn't just give us instructions. He sent himself. He came along. And God sent his son to us so that he would bring heaven down to earth, the Lord Almighty. So the song of the angels is a song of good news. Secondly, it's a song of joy because it's a song that anyone can sing. Notice what it says here. I bring you good tidings of good news of great joy, which will be for who? All people. So it's a message of joy that anybody can sing. Christ came and was placed in a manger. Christ's birth was first announced to lowly shepherds. The first ones who first heard the news were the shepherds on the hillside who were considered outcasts, who were considered the lowest of the low in their society. And no one wanted to deal with a shepherd. They were considered unclean people. And those were the people that first heard the good news. God came to them. And Christ was wrapped and laid in a manger so that everybody could have access to him. Not in a palace. He was not born in Jerusalem in the palace of King Herod. He was born in the city of David in a lowly shepherd in a lowly manger so that anybody could come to him. It's a message of joy for all people. Anybody can sing it. Christ is welcome. Anybody can come to him. Not just us, but anyone who receives and hears and believes and trusts in him. It's a message for all people. And so that's a reminder to us. Who is it that we know within our family and friends that still need to know and sing this song? Still need to know the song of redemption that Jesus Christ has come. For us, just as the shepherds who shared that with others. It's a song we all can sing. It's a song of joy, too, because it's a song of highest praise. Notice it says, verse 14, glory to God. The angels burst out in a song together, praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, or in the highest heaven. And earlier we sang, Gloria in excelsis Deo, which means glory to God in the highest heaven. And there is great joy when we live our lives for God's glory. And God created us to live our lives for his glory and to return glory by lifting him up in praise and adoration. And that's what God's calling for you and I is to do, is to live our life to his praise and to his glory and giving him the highest praise. And it's something, have you ever noticed in your life when you're going through a tough time and you may not feel like praising God, but you do, and you lift up a song of praise to him or say, Lord, I thank you even in the midst of that. And Lord, I worship you. Have you ever noticed that when you do that, something about it lifts up your spirit and it brings you joy? Have you ever noticed that? Paul and Silas, when they were in prison, in the midst of that, they praised God at midnight in their shackles. And in prison, they continued to praise and glorify God. And there's something that happens within you and me that when we lift up a song of praise to him, even in the midst of hardship, it transforms us. It lifts our spirits too, besides giving glory to God. And the shepherds join in that song of praise, the highest praise to the glory of God. And that's how God wants us to live our life. It's a song of joy too, because it's a song that brings peace. The shepherds sure needed peace. And the angel said to them, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. There's a lot of people in our world today that need peace. And maybe you and I as well, when we're going through, and the peace that God brings is first peace with him. It's called the peace with God. And that's knowing that all is good and right between you and God. And Jesus came as the Prince of Peace to bring us that point of peace with God, that he died on the cross for you and me. He shed his blood. He paid the price. And he didn't stay dead, but he rose again. And by putting our faith and trust in him, we are made at peace with God. Because the Bible says we all were at war and enmity with him. But Christ has brought peace to us by trusting in him. And that we can rejoice in that. That's joy. To know that we have peace and we can lay our head down at night and know that at the end of this life, we're going to be with the Lord because all is well between me and God, right? Yeah. Isn't that something to rejoice in? That's the peace with God that assures us that our sins have been dealt with. That we're okay, we're right with Him. Not because of what we've done, but because of what Jesus did for us and our acceptance of that. But then there's the peace of God. And the peace of God is that in the midst of the storms, the hardship, or the adversity that we go through, to know that even in the midst of that, we can be fine. And we are okay because Emmanuel is with us. He's with us in the midst of the storms we're facing. We're not walking through those valleys alone. When we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil. Because why? Emmanuel is with us. God is with us through the valley and out the other side, and with the assurance that we will dwell in the house of the Lord. And that's the peace of God. To know that in the midst of the hardships, in the midst of the face, everything's okay. I can still rejoice because God is good. He has a good plan and purpose for me. So it's a song of peace that brings peace. And the shepherds needed that. They were fearful. It said when they first saw the light and they heard the angels, they were fearful. And they were terrified, it said. And you and I probably would have been too. But the first words as the angel says, don't be afraid. God's coming. The song of the angels that the Savior has been born transforms that peace, that fear to peace. And that to joy in what He's done for us. Knowing that God is good and is working it all out. And fifth, the song of angels is a song of joy because it's a song that changes lives. It's a song that changes us forever. Notice what happens in verses 15 to 20. When the angels have gone back up to heaven, the shepherds said to themselves, well, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing which was told us about. And so they talked about it, and they just moseyed and took their time and thought about going to the city. Is that what they did? No, it says they hurried. They hurried off to find the baby as they were told. This news of great joy which was told to them. They hurried off to find it. And they found the baby lying in the manger, which was a sign. People find the baby lying in the manger. God's gift. And when they saw him, it says they returned. And they glorified and praised God for all that they had heard and seen, which was just as it had been told to them. And the shepherds return, but they return with a new purpose. Their lives now had meaning. Their lives now had joy. Yes, they were going back to care for the sheep, but they weren't doing it in a mundane way anymore. It wasn't just going to be a meaningless job watching the stupid sheep die. Their life now had purpose. It had meaning and had joy because they had met the Savior. And He gave them purpose and meaning, and their life was changed into joy. Christ does that in us. They were saved. They had served now with joy as they returned. They went back to their job. They went back to what they were to do, but they did it now with purpose. They did it now with meaning. And their life had been transformed because they had met the Savior. And they had heard the good news of great joy. And they shared with joy. It said also that they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And everybody who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them because they had seen their joy. And they had spread that joy, and it was contagious. And when you're excited or I'm excited about something, you have some good news you want to tell somebody, maybe you have a good restaurant you like to go to, or maybe something that you're really happy about and you want to tell somebody else, you know, you're going to. Or come to church with me because good things are happening there. Or you want to tell everybody and have the good news. It's contagious. Other people catch that. And the shepherds told others, we've seen the Savior. We've seen the Messiah. And others come to know. In the classic Charles Dickens story, The Christmas Carol, the main character was a guy by the name of Ebenezer Scrooge. We all have seen this story. Maybe you've read it. Maybe you've seen how many movies of it. And Ebenezer Scrooge, he was a miser. He was rich. He had a lot of money, but he was miserable. And he hated Christmas. His classic line anytime his anybody wants to talk about Christmas was Christmas bah humbug. He hated it. And Christmas Eve, as you know the story, he was visited by the ghost, the spirit of Christmas past, Christmas present, and Christmas yet to come. And through that he discovered the meaning of Christmas and the purpose. Then he woke up on Christmas morning and his life had been changed and transformed. And it was the power of Christmas did that. And he became a good friend to Tiny Tim and cared for him. And you know the story. But he kept it well. He kept it in his heart, as the story ends. But it was power to change lives. And it wasn't in Christmas itself. It was in what Christmas is about, and that's about Jesus. The song that the angels sang, the one who came to change us and to change our lives forever. And just as the shepherds, we are called to share and to spread the joy. Don't be afraid, because I bring you good news of great joy, which is for all the people. Today, in the town of David, the Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloth, lying in the manger. It's a song of good news. It's a song anyone can sing. It's a song of highest praise. It's a song that brings peace. It's a song that changes lives. Just look back at your life and see how your life was changed because of Jesus Christ and what he has come to you. We rejoice this morning in the song of joy that had been sung by the angels. And may his joy continue to transform us. And we go from here to spread that joy to others that still don't know. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the joy in our hearts that comes through you, that your coming brings because it's good news. It's the news, Lord, that we needed. You gave us what was best. You gave us that gift of salvation through your Son. It's a message, Lord, that anybody can sing and all are welcome to by faith and trust in you. It's a message, Lord, that has changed our lives. And we all can give testimony of how our life has been changed since we met you, since we found you. And Lord, it's a message that brings peace. The peace in that relationship with you, knowing that our sins have been forgiven and all is well, but also the peace of God that sustains us, that the world does not understand or has no knowledge of. But it's that peace, Lord, that sustains us in the heart of difficult times. So thank you for the joy of the Lord, which is our strength, and the joy that we have because Christ, the Messiah, the Lord, the Savior, has come. The best news, and we rejoice in that. So Lord, may we, who know you well and who know you, rejoice in you this week and look forward with anticipation to the celebration of your first coming, but more so, look forward with anticipation to your second coming. And that will be a joyous day when you split the eastern sky or when you take us to be with you. And that joy of being with you forever because of what you've done for us through Jesus. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning.